Do a podcast. Do a podcast.
Must we?
I mean, that's why we brought each other here today.
Well, it's a good thing we're recording then. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
With special guest,
Merritt.
And we are all feeling a little bit of deja vu right now.
I like to say that we had such a fun time with Merritt yesterday that we just needed an excuse to do it again.
Friends.
I see.
Friends, let me tell you a little story.
Can I booze first? Can I booze and then we tell a story?
I feel like we need to.
Let's have that ready.
I made myself a hot toddy. I got peppermint tea and honey whiskey,
I feel like that's delightful. The fucking way.
Yeah, no,
that sounds amazing.
Just a tiny splash of lemon.
Yeah.
I decided
that because I don't have gin at the moment, I am completely out of gin.
You have gin at my place.
He has no gin.
Yes.
He has no gin, so he cannot ask for three wishes.
Correct. So, we need to figure out what kind of drink a three wishes is. Anyway.
It'll have gin in that.
Gin, right. I feel
like it has to be three separate shots that you have to take in quick succession.
Ooh.
It's like a three wise men, only not those alcohols. Only so, not a three wise men.
So we'll come back to that. Anyway, so James, you're out of gin.
Yeah, so I decided that it's also time to be out of this terrible stuff, this grape-flavored, incredibly cheap vodka. It looks like one of those ooze tubes that was popular as a desktop toy in the
1990s. Oh, God, it does.
Yeah, it's that color. And then, I made myself a vodka tonic with this awful grape monstrosity. And this is what it looks like. It looks like dishwater. So we're about to find out.
It looks like when I do the Mio drops, but like only one.
Mm. Friends,
is it
that
awful?
That is exactly what I expected.
So not good.
Not
is
great.
Is it dishwater? Okay.
A little.
Like not the worst thing you put in your mouth, but almost.
Close, yeah. It's
no Malort.
It's not. I feel like this. If Malort is a cliff, this is a speed bump.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It is a little bitter.
I am having flashbacks to the first time that I was on Apropos of Nothing, where I was introduced to Malort. And so, you know, I am almost glad that we are doing things not in a room together to where I don't get peer pressured or just roped in on any,
you can say you can say it's steamrolled.
Yeah, I just, you know, I like to go with the bit. I am a proponent of yes and, but I didn't know any better. I knew nothing.
No.
And now I know better, so I'm feeling
now
pretty
you
good about my choices.
Fatter and wiser. Yeah.
The
yeah.
hard part about Malort for me is that it gets worse every time I have it. So before, I was like, okay, it's bad, and it's like, this is awful, and I never want to put this into my mouth again. But then that next time was way worse.
Then you kept putting it in your mouth.
Die laughing was, I want to say, having broken my leg, that was still one of the worst experiences of my life, as drinking wise, at least.
All right.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing about Malort for me is that people keep paying for me to drink it.
As long as they keep doing it, so must I.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Salsa Merritt, what do you guys got?
I'm punishing myself, so I'm drinking Laphroaig.
Oh.
Oh.
That's brave of you. You jerk.
Yep.
I hate you. I am drinking Coke and Kraken because my other option was a bottle, which is just a Coke bottle that is full of an unknown clear liquid that I think is tequila.
Oh.
But I'm pretty sure it's tequila. I don't remember why I have it.
It's tequila then.
Yeah.
But I don't buy booze because I am not good at drinking booze. And so when I need it, I just kind of bring it up in casual conversation at people's houses. And they say, oh, do you need booze? And then they will send me home with a portion. And I am just at their mercy, which has worked out pretty well. Vis-a-vis, I have Kraken. But on the other hand, mystery tequila? Who knows?
There is always that.
All right, so salsa.
So, three wishes.
Okay.
Oh, God.
There is a cherry liqueur called Wishniak.
Okay.
That's all you got for us?
It's a Polish cherry liqueur.
Oh.
Okay.
I may have had this.
So, gin and Wishniak.
Okay.
I don't know yet. Give me time.
Okay, so that's our first wish. That's one down. We need two more.
Well, because you've got the gin.
That's two wishes.
Right.
Yeah, so the gin
I don't know,
is
but
one.
Do you think it's
four shots?
Well, no, I want three shots. Each of them have gin as their base. And then something on top of them.
Wow. Oh.
Because the gin is required for all of the wishes.
That's fair.
Goldschlager.
Yes, okay. All right.
I see.
Yep, because it's got the gold flecks in it.
All right.
Okay.
And
then Malort.
For the carpet? The flying
for
carpet?
For the monkey paw aspect.
Exactly. That's my thought. It's like, you know how, like, that's the thing, is you have to be careful what you wish for because they will take it literally and then the legalese and whatnot. So I'm like, so you gotta have one that just kills them. Just dead. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm not the one making these things.
Rule number three, I'm not gonna kill anybody. I don't like doing it. It's nasty.
Anyway, we have a story to tell.
Yes, we do.
Boy, do we.
It is a tale of four people who spend 3 hours drunkenly telling each other stories, only to discover that it was all for naught. We started recording yesterday and very quickly discovered that there was some technical problems. So James,
a half an hour later.
Yeah, so James and Jenna and Merritt all left the room and came back. However,
the virtual room.
Yes.
We're still social distance.
Sure.
No, we all just walked out into the hallway and then came back in.
I mean, that's what I did.
That tracks.
The software that I use to record records records three files. It records a .author file, a .participant file, and then a composite file. When all three of you left the chat room, the .participant file went, "Oh, there's nobody here." And so it cut itself off and stopped recording. The author file kept recording because I'm still here. And because the author file was still recording, the ticker was still going. And it looked like it was recording. But because you had all left, the participant file stopped recording. And when you came back, it didn't start up again. So it was only recording the outbound audio. And so the outbound audio and then subsequently the composite track only had me for 3 hours.
And, you know,
and nobody
salsa.
Wants that.
I kind of do, actually. I just want to know.
I have already deleted the file. Don't even ask.
When I explained this to Joe, he was like, but now you have a backup. If something goes horribly awry, or like you can't record 1 week, you can just be like, well, this is all we've got, and just play salsa.
Oh, yep. Ugh, no, it's already gone. I got rid of that.
The sounds of salsa reacting and scrolling through Facebook for 3 hours.
I feel like that's my next lo-fi.
That's my ASMR channel.
Yeah, I was about to say, this would make scrolling. Great ASMR of just like if we put it through a filter and it's like point of view, your roommate is in the next room over recording a podcast, but you can't hear what anyone else is saying. You can just hear his side of things. So this is like Raiderly listening to you from the next room over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's exactly like that. It was just like I knew what we had said because we had just said it. But even me listening going back, it was just... It was just silence, and then, yeah, but what about the you know, it was just, it was so
I would have loved
weird.
To hear that file processed through the automatic filter that removes silences, so that it's just like,
oh,
bumper
so,
to bumper salsa reacting to things.
Yeah, it was
the super cut.
Speed run.
So what
yeah.
we're saying yeah. is
5 minutes of talking.
So what we're saying is after 3 hours... last night of talking and having fun, wherein Salsa drank an entire pint of Imperial Stout and got quite sloshed, and
it was lovely.
And it was gold. It's all gone, and so we're doing it again because we love you, the audience, so much that we are willing to sit here again and do this whole bloody thing over.
For apropos, so loved the world.
I'm not sure yet what we're going to do for the Fast Five, if we're just going to do the same Fast Five, because it would be a shame to have his Fast Five just useless.
Right.
But we also know what it means, so I'm like, I'm not...
To be fair.
To be fair.
If we take that Fast Five... and put it back in the backlog and not open for like another 6 weeks.
We'll
in
probably
six
forget.
Weeks' time, we will all have forgotten what it was.
No,
well, I mean, especially in the year of our... the year of Genos Lord 2020, 6 weeks is like 6.5 months at this point.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
No, that's
also,
that story's
Merit, I want everybody to start saying in the year of Genos Lord.
Well, you know, I used to have like... I had a token Christian friend who turned out to be a little bit of a jackass, so I no longer use that reference. It's fine. He's just very stupid. He's very 22. And, you know, sometimes that's a little more obvious than other times. But I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, I don't know who do I have that is, like, a Christian, because it's not my Lord. Like, I think Jesus is cool, but, like, I don't hang out at his house, right? Like, we do the nod when we pass each
you
other
go
in the
there,
street.
You get drugs, you come home.
Yeah, I mean, like,
deal.
It's fine. Yeah. But so, and then I remembered very helpfully, Jenna, that you are also a Christian. And
I am.
So, it is the year of your Lord, 2020. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, like, intercede on our behalf at any point and just be like, hey, guys, hey, folks.
God, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I just don't know where to start.
I feel like sobbing into the void is always an option. I don't know if it's a good option, but like it is an option.
No, it's okay. I went through a bunch of therapy, and I still do therapy on the fairly regular, because it's good to have mental checkups as well as physicals every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this year especially. If you have a leak in your oil tank, you need to get that oil changed like every other month, you guys. Like,
giggity.
Seriously. Not a euphemism. I mean, it is, but it's not a sexual one. It's more of a metaphor.
Oh.
It's a metaphism. It's a euphophore. It's a euphophore.
Okay.
Anyway.
No, we're all just kind of making faces at this point.
James, yeah, that's a portmanteau.
No, James hates it, so I love it.
May I suggest Portman Ow? Like,
ooh,
it just,
ooh,
it hurt me in my soul place, like the place where my soul should be, but it may be vacant at this point. I haven't checked.
It's just a badger den in there.
It is just a hole in the ground. That's where I put all of my feelings, and then I tab them down, and then I don't have to deal with it. That's how feelings work. No, go to therapy. Guys, go to therapy, please. Anyways, right. So Jenna does therapy.
What was I saying? Oh,
I have no idea anymore.
So one of the therapy styles that I went through and graduated, I'm certified saner than I used to be.
Ooh.
I know, right? How many of you can say that? I don't know how long that lasts, but at least at one point.
You have to re-up every 8 years, like your
right. I don't.
Your CPR,
they never told me. Like, yeah. anyway, but I went through DBT, which is dialectic behavioral therapy, kind of like a spinoff of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying which CBT you were talking about, because there are more
there
than
are
one.
Many. Yes. Dialectic is more the so cognitive. For me did not work well because I constantly felt judged and that there was a right decision that I was supposed to be making. Mm-hmm. And that's not for somebody with PTSD and specifically like abuse trauma and other things like that from a borderline personality that always thought things needed to be right and wrong. That mm-hmm. there was a right and a wrong, that went poorly for me. I did that for about 6 weeks and said, no, this is never happening. But dialectic behavioral therapy is much less judgy. It's based off of a couple of different things, which is like, what is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? What is your goal in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
Does that goal further your long-term goal? And sometimes, and this is where I'm bringing it back around, sometimes screaming into the void is the current goal that your behavior is contributing to. Sometimes screaming into the void is a catharsis and a release that is needed within that moment to be able to move forward. So there is nothing wrong with screaming in the void, and I recommend it whenever you need release. So that you can then move on to further your other goals.
Hmm.
Yes, I absolutely recommend screaming into the void or like ascending to another realm of existence as an initial step in the process.
Right.
Because you know sometimes you have to have yourself like a panic cry before then you're like great and now I'm going to do the thing. You just got to get it out of the way because otherwise if you put it off for too long it's kind of like. When something is weird with your car and you just put it off until it then snaps and then you are stuck on the side. This has never happened to me, of course. Sometimes you have the check engine light on and then you are driving because you're like, okay, well, I will check the engine as soon as I'm done doing these three things. And then you get one of the things done and then you're stuck on the side of the road on your way to FedEx.
I lost
and you still don't.
Car that way.
I also lost the car that way because it punched a hole in the engine. Yes. Yes. Not recommended. Anyways. Therapy is good for you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just like, don't go to the dentist when you have a cavity only. Like, go for regular checkups. Go for maintenance.
I was about to say, should I not go to the dentist? Because I've got a lot of cavities right now.
Giggity.
Awkward. Hey! No, you know what? That one gets to be a euphemism.
I feel like yar, but...
I guarantee you, if Joe was here right now, he'd be all over that shit.
He really would. He really, really would.
Joe usually is.
Literally and metaphorically.
Cavities.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yep. That's a thing. Okay. We have a healthy relationship.
Aww.
You keep it in a jar next to your bed with a stick and a leaf to replicate its natural habitat?
What's sad is that Joe and I do actually have a really good, healthy relationship. This is one of the healthiest relationships I've been in.
But Joe is Joe.
But Joe is Joe, yeah.
Yes, boy howdy is
I am me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And... There's Joe and I when we are performative, and there is Joe and I when one of us is crying and the other one's holding us, and sometimes it's both at the same time. Like,
yeah.
There's a whole spectrum of stuff in there. But most people only get to see the performative relationship.
Yep.
So.
And
also, I enjoy the performative part of our relationship, too.
Well, fair enough.
It's fine. Yeah. It amuses me.
Mm-hmm. So
what have you guys been up to?
My kids' school open house was today.
How was that?
So my daughter is going to be starting second grade, and my son starts kindergarten. And so we went to the school today, and we got a packet of stuff for each kid. My daughter was doing summer school, so she already had a laptop from the school, but my son got an iPad from the school.
Okay.
So my daughter has her desk set up in her room, and my son's got his desk set up next to my desk in my basement.
You get a coworker.
I do. I get a coworker. So my wife will be working from the kitchen. My daughter will be working from her bedroom, which is just, you know, hop skip from the kitchen. And my son and I will be working downstairs in the basement together. And that's how we will be for the next God knows how long. But they basically were like, here's all of the paper and stuff that you're going to need for the first, you know, month or two of school, and then when we run out, we'll have you come back to the school and pick up another packet. And that's how they're going to be learning this year. So, yeah. It'll be an adventure. But we'll see how that works out. That's what I did.
Yeah, so today, so last week, my at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning, my landlord had sent an email that said, hello, we're doing some inspections of a couple of the units in your building, and you are one of the inspections we're doing, and that may happen, that's going to happen sometime this week, as soon as today or tomorrow. So they send this at 9 o'clock Monday morning, and I, of course, don't see it until noon, because I am a disaster human being, I suppose. And so then I immediately get in a panic because I am not doing therapy right now for various reasons. And so I'm very depressed. And when I get depressed, my house gets messy. And so I was convinced that they were going to have an issue with that. So I quickly started panic cleaning, and it became evident that the inspection was not going to happen until Tuesday. So I finished up cleaning, and I got it to where it was reasonable. And they came in Tuesday afternoon, and they're like, okay, cool. They listed like 5 different things off that I needed to fix or correct. Like, my floors were sticky on the next to my stove under the big ceramic sink, you know, where I don't go because I am a very small person, but that's just not a reasonable place to be. So there was my floors were sticky in some places. I had an empty pizza box on my stove, and they were like, you need to clean these things, and we're going to come back in for another round of inspections this week. So they gave me the same window, which was 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so 4 hours, right? When they came in last Tuesday, they got here at about 1:15. So, you know, that last little bit of time. Today they got here at 2:30. Which is, in fact, after a 4-hour window wherein I was just stuck here. And did I hear a word from anyone? No, I did not. Even though my landlord and 2 of the staff of the company were here at the property at 2 o'clock, at no point did they decide to, check in and just be like, hey, we're waiting on another person or something like that, so we're going to be just a little... No, nothing. I saw them in the hallway when I went to check my mail, and they did say, hi, how are you doing? And I'm like, well, you know, I would love to be able to have an answer for that. and, I mean, they did eventually get in here, but it was still, irritating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of my morning to afternoon, because as I'm waiting for them to get here, because I can't go places because I have this dog who is a nuisance at best. And I do love her dearly, but she's just not very convenient. And so she gets very loud. And while she's very friendly, when I am here, she will let people come in and she will more or less be out of the way. If I'm not here, I don't anticipate her being as accommodating. And so I didn't decide I wanted to test that. So then I had to be here. And of course, I am like amped up waiting and listening for any sounds to indicate that someone is about to knock on my door, because as soon as they knock on my door, she is loud. But so she then picked up on the fact that I was waiting for something to happen. So then she was anxious. So then anytime she heard any noise whatsoever, she would start to yell. Sounds that we heard today. A car was being towed from in front of the building. I assume with the knowledge and intent of the person to whom the car belonged, because they were out there. We also heard UPS. We always yell at UPS. We sometimes yell at FedEx, but UPS, very reliably, we yell at him. We yelled at a new tenant who is moving in on the third floor because, you know, there was a U-Haul, and she didn't like that, not one bit. We still didn't yell when we heard police sirens or ambulance sirens, because she never does, but I'm still just like, dog, why? Why must we have a ruckus? To the point where I did get to the point where she went over and started barking at the door, and I just out loud said to her, have you considered that not everyone in the hallway is here to talk to you? Loud enough that my neighbor who lives across the hallway, who was coming home, probably heard me.
It's fine.
It is. And I mean, like, my landlord came in and everything was fine. They like my dog. She likes most people. But yeah, so that was my day. I did actually start this morning, 6:44 in the morning. And, I am not a person before 10 a.m. I don't like to be. And I make this very evident, and I tell people these things. I'm just like, you know, hello, my office hours are 11 to 11. If you have any emergencies outside of that, it needs to be an emergency, or don't expect me to answer you. So my mother texts me at 6:44 in the morning because she would like to have a phone call with me today.
But
she didn't even actually say, hey, do you have time for a phone call today? What her message was today with 3 question marks. And I just said no. Because I'm like, normally I will say things like, I am busy today, or explain at what time I might be available or why I'm not available at all. But it is 6:44 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ma'am, madam. So I said no. And she said, okay, love you. And I went back to sleep. We have a tenuous relationship at best, so I don't know why she thought that was going to work. So yeah, that was the start of my day, and it went kind of roller coastery after that. But then eventually, I took a nap, and now I feel great.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Good.
All right. Then.
Awesome.
Naps are glorious things.
Mm-hmm.
Naps are glorious things.
Yeah, I woke up from a nap today feeling a little bit like hot trash, which I then had to remind myself was an upgrade from how I felt earlier. So I was this morning, my body woke me up after, I want to say, 4.5 hours of sleep. And I've just been having a lot of trouble sleeping recently. So I had that weird like borderline auditory hallucination going on, where like your brain starts to drop into the dream state just as you're paying attention to something, and you start to experience like words that you can't quite hear, things like that. I decided at that point that it was time to go back to bed. So I had to let my coworkers know that was what was up. But after going back to bed for a little additional time, and then also taking a nap this afternoon, after which I felt like more reasonably assembled and bagged hot trash, properly bagged trash. Let's do that. Sorted recycling.
I was about to say, like you're in the compostable green bags that you throw your like potato trimmings away in.
Did you say sorted or sordid recycling?
Yes. Both.
Okay.
Yes.
Porque no los dos.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all dildo boxes and lube bottles, but it's properly, you know, assembled.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that.
That's fair.
Delineated.
And then because I'm moving, I got permission from the landlordess to transfer everything that we had in storage for this apartment into storage for the other apartment. And I don't know if the new storage area is significantly larger, but it has shelving, and that means that there is an enormous amount of space left over where before there was less than space. There is negative space remaining.
I mean, I like negative space art.
This was not the artistic kind, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
No.
So,
okay.
if space touches that, will there be like an event horizon or
Star Trek happens?
Stargate.
Yep.
Stargate.
Stargate.
Yes, that too. Yeah.
You could have had a Stargate right there, James.
Not the good Stargate, the movie one. So there was that.
But the first movie was great.
Oh, I meant the movie, the video game for Sega Genesis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Pardon me for misspeaking. So that happened, and then I did physical therapy. My company has been super awesome about paying for a permanent weight loss program that is just basically minding your diet and doing exercise and then weighing in every day, which is, I guess, it works if you aren't like me and you can form habits. And then the next thing that they did was to offer a health program for... Oh, go ahead.
I was about to say, I'm great at forming habits. I am a smoker, and I've been one since 18. Great at forming habits.
But habits are extraordinarily difficult for me, as all of you might have noticed. And then... fucking right. And so I signed up for another program that is supposed to be habitual, that is for pain in joints and things like that. And I have, you know, genetically terrible knees, and decided that it would be a good idea to get into a program that is designed to strengthen and stabilize those. So I've been doing that, and it's neat. They sent me a little kit that reminds me each day, and that I ignore each day for the most part, some sensors that are extremely accurate that get strapped to my body and make me feel fat because I'm at the very outer limits for their size. And then go through a quick, like, 15-minute regimen that makes me just feel wrecked for the rest of the day. And I have to hope that as I continue to push through physical therapy, having done 6 or 7 sessions now, that as I push through it, that it will become easier. But I also know that they're going to ramp up the difficulty as I move forward, which means that it is always going to be a trial,
yeah,
sure,
to get through. So it is what it is, and it's super amazing of them to do this. And it means that I got a little Kindle Fire tablet that I've been reading on, because they're like, we don't know if they have compatible devices, so we're just going to send them a cheap one. It's super nice though, but it's the one that's the one that's subsidized by displaying ads on the screen constantly, which is, I wish that there was, like, I would pay Amazon money if I could turn that off, because I do not love that. but I know that that lowers the, you know, very normal cost of the tablet to a extremely affordable tablet. But it's a really nice device. I like it, and it encourages me to read more, which I've been enjoying, because it's a way to dodge doing physical therapy, I think.
So everything's going according to plan, is what you're telling me.
Sure. I'm trying to form good habits, and it, I
as
think it
has
is
been already established,
going to be a desperate struggle for me.
Yeah. I think forming habits is a really tricky thing. I would not. They say it takes 21 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 21 days to break a habit, because you're basically just making a habit of not doing that habit.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
So yeah, if you hit day 5 and you're not in the habit yet, that's normal. Like,
sure.
You know what I mean?
You know, that whole 21 days thing is nonsense, because I tried to do a thing where I did something every 3 weeks, and it just didn't take.
God no, damn it, Salsa.
No.
I'm well into the weight loss program. I was doing really well for, I want to say, 3 or 4 months. I was documenting every meal. I was weighing myself every day. I was... keeping up on all the lessons and doing the group work, right? Like the discussion things like, hey, do you have favorite restaurants and recipes and all of that stuff? And what do you do to mitigate your cravings and blah, blah, blah. And at some point I missed a couple of days and then just fucking couldn't anymore. And now I'm trying to get back up onto that horse. So, yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been up to, is trying to be a healthy individual with an apartment that is boxed up and ready to move. And fuck, friends, that is a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot, but good for you.
Yeah. For me, making like healthy like food decisions is difficult, because I live by myself and I never learned how to make portion-sized meals, and my brain is a little funny in that I have ADHD, so the out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing shows up in fun and interesting ways. For example, if I have leftovers and I put them away, they are gone, and they are gone forever, and I will not see them again until I am cleaning out my fridge in 2 months, and I'm like, oh, right, I did have sausage gravy in that container. Huh.
Ooh.
I think.
It may not have started as sausage gravy, yeah.
It started out as sausage.
Yes. You laugh, but I do in fact have a little like roll of sausage meat in there that was meant to be sausage gravy, but it's been a minute, and I am afraid.
Do you experience intense guilt related with... Okay.
Oh, yeah. So the problem with me, right, this is such a prevalent issue that recently I made a post last week kind of leading into the like, my landlords are suddenly going to show up in my apartment and I am ashamed, because like shame-based cleaning is a way to do it.
Sure.
And I made a post that like referenced the fact that I'm like feeling some type of way about my living situation, in that like living alone doesn't work well for me and I should probably get a roommate. And a bunch of people in my communities reached out to show support in various ways. For example, three different people were like, hello, you seem to be having a bad time. I know that it is uncomfortable for you to accept help. However, I am going to the grocery store and I have some spare cash and I can just bring you some groceries. Do you need groceries? Three different people with the exact same script. Because all of my friends know that I don't know how to act when people are nice to me. I have been actually getting a lot better at this, but I appreciate
that's a common thing in this group right here.
I noticed. So Dennis, who I believe we all know, offered to bring me some groceries. Dennis, who is responsible for my troublesome experience with Malort, if I remember correctly.
Yes, you do remember correctly.
So they owe you. They do, and they brought me some groceries. And so one of the things is I like to eat spinach by the handful, the way that people eat potato chips. I just eat spinach. It's great. Sure. I did find out one can eat too much spinach when one is not eating anything other than spinach.
Yeah.
But so I usually get like a medium size like bag of spinach, and they got me a huge bag of spinach, and now I'm like, now it is a race to see if I can eat all of the spinach before it starts to slime. And this is how I found out that one can eat too much spinach. But it was also like on Sunday, I went to my fridge to get something out, like a beverage or something. And I looked in, I was like, oh, that's right. Dennis got me two green bell peppers. I should eat those before they go terrible.
Yes.
And did I eat one on Sunday? No. Did I eat one on Monday? Absolutely not. I did eat one today. And they're still crispy and good. So, but yes, so it is always a race. And like, I can't, they also brought me like, instant stuffing and things like that, because they were like, what kind of foods do you eat? And I'm like, carbs, please.
Fuck.
Bring me carbs. And they did, they delivered. But so aww. I just have like groceries sitting on my table now because they are shelf stable, and then I can see them and I remember they are there. But you can't do that with things like milk. So I have multiple containers of milk that has gone bad in my fridge because I am afraid to take them out until I take them all the way out. And will I do that? Probably at 4 a.m. So I do experience like it's this weird amount of guilt where I'm like simultaneously like I feel bad about it, but I'm also just like, well, that's just how it is, which is not true. Because I recently kind of came to the revelation that like I have to stop saying things like I am messy by nature, because it is not by nature. This isn't just like a personality trait. I have ADHD, which right now is not being managed at all, like vis-a-vis medication or therapy. And so this is the messiness that I experience is a symptom of an untreated disorder. And so part of my process of learning how to manage that ADHD is going to impact, you know, learning how to build in routines and habits for staying clean. And you know, if that's something like, you know, at the same time every day I set an alarm and I walk through and I look for like dishes, trash, and laundry, you know, that's a thing that maybe I need to start doing. Which incidentally is something a friend of mine does with their 6-year-old child. So this week we are learning how to talk to me as if I am a toddler, because I am much nicer to toddlers than I am to myself. But I don't know how to do that with food. I do, actually. So this is why I've been living off of like cheeseburgers and chicken nuggets for the last 3 months of quarantine, because I'm like, those come in portion control packages, and they require very few steps to eat and to cook. And then I can just throw them away when I am done with them. Same thing with like frozen pizzas. I've recently started eating bagels because you can just, it's just bread. It's just slightly fancier bread. People don't look down at you when you eat a plain bagel. People do look a little weird at you when you just like sit down and eat 5 slices of wheat bread. I just eat bread. I like carbs. I am not well designed.
I have too many loaves of sourdough bread that we've made here, if you would like at least one.
I would adopt a loaf of bread, yes.
Okay.
There was a day before quarantine, so this would have been like over the end of last year, the beginning of this year, where like for whatever reason I just was doing a very bad job of being a person. And a friend of mine made me a loaf of bread, and I swear I just ate that for like 3 days and that was it. Because I'm not good at taking care of myself. I should not be left unsupervised. So
I
this
feel
is
like
why
eating bread is just like picnic food.
Right, like, but for 3 days, Jenna. But for 3 days, I was eating bread and drinking soda. That's it.
It's a 3-day picnic.
I have no problem with this. You are still here. You are still alive.
I did make it. Yeah.
That's all that. Yeah. You're good.
Yes, yeah. I have become very good at the bare minimum, which is a method of self-care. It's not like the most sustainable, but it does work, to a point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of taking good care of ourselves, I need another drink.
I also need another drink.
How do people feel about a break?
Ooh, I like it.
I say we do that. So all we're right. going to.
I am so glad you determined this.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
Give me a break.
Break me off a piece of Jenna's podcast.
Give me a break. Give me a
break. We're just going to keep saying this.
Man, the lag is awful. We'll be right back.
Rose.
No, go away. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
The BBC knows when to stop.
Yeah, exactly.
America does not.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. It's so great. It's so gratifying, leaving you actually wanting more instead of going, when will this fucking end?
Okay, on the other hand, now, on the other hand, the rise and fall of
Why are we not recording this?
Well, we have been recording this. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'm Salsa. Okay.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Merritt.
Okay,
I assumed we had been recording this whole time. I'm glad that, like, I was right.
I didn't know.
We do this every single episode, and they somehow still forget that I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
See, I've already picked up on this. I get it.
It's not that I forget that you're an asshole. I just often think that your desire for control and order will sometimes top that.
I mean, but consider that because he's an asshole and because he knows what he's doing, he still maintains that control. So
that's true.
Yeah. So on the topic of the BBC and leaving you wanting more instead of wanting to escape, on the other hand, there is the series BBC's Sherlock. Which did this thing where they were putting out, like, I don't know, 3-4 episodes in a series, right? Mm-hmm. And they were, like, longer episodes, and I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were, like, hour and a half, 2-hour episodes, but just 3 of them.
Yeah. And so, like, the first series happened, and then the second series happened, and then nothing. Dead silence. The world never knows what is going to happen. Like, and they ended on a cliffhanger, and, like, in the down period between when they finished the second series and then they began the third one, which was like multiple years, we got Elementary, which is another Sherlock show that mm-hmm. is U.S. based, which featuring Lucy Liu as Joan Watson and Johnny Lee Miller as Sherlock himself. And mm-hmm. what they were doing with that show, I think, was very good in ways that BBC Sherlock didn't have. I think that they were showing us a side of Sherlock that we hadn't really seen in other iterations, because they really modernized the fact that, like, canonically Sherlock, it does a lot of drugs. Like, that was just the thing in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so they played to that as, like, in a modern context, what does that look like? And so they were showing Sherlock going through the process of recovery, which was really good and really cool. And they were doing that in a very empathetic and very constructive way. And I feel like in the down period between the second and third series of BBC Sherlock, we started seeing different media taking on the Sherlock Holmes kind of mantle. And we started seeing series doing it better in ways that were more relevant to a lot of people, because BBC Sherlock still kind of had elements of the fantastic, but they didn't really, like, connect as well, I feel like, with me personally, like, as an American audience member, right? Mm-hmm. The Elementary side of things, like, hit me emotionally different than the BBC version did. And so by the time BBC Sherlock started coming back with their third series, they missed their mark. This is the, like, how long can you wait between sequels kind of thing.
But also, I don't feel like the last series of Sherlock was... I don't feel like it was good in the same way. I think it was missing a lot of the goodness. Just having gone essentially season one, season two as they came out, and then rewatching the series, waiting for... Was it series three that was the last one?
Yeah, yep. I think so.
And then watching series three immediately following the first two, still having the same like strong feelings about one and two, three left me cold. And I think it got a little bit Moffat-y, because I think Moffat was also...
It sure did. Yes, you're right.
Okay.
I hate it when things get Moffat-y.
Yep.
It's just the worst.
So,
it really is, though.
Not to disagree with you or undervalue your opinion, those were my feelings.
Yeah. I don't have a vested interest in this because I didn't even see the third series, frankly. By the time the third series came around, I was just like, meh. I think I had also moved on to some other, special interests at that point. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall, because the last, 4 years have been a little bit of a blur, and it's kind of like I've got this manuscript of all of my life's experiences, and the problem is that I have the sheet of paper that was 2017, which turned into, 16 sheets of paper, but they were all soaked, just completely drenched in coffee, but I had to put them on the rest of the manuscript, so even though it was only those, 17 pages that were soaked in coffee, it bled into the other pages, and now I really just don't know what was going on. I really don't recall. Oh, boy, howdy, so much coffee. God. But yeah, so I do think there is a balance between keeping media succinct and contained rather than letting it ramble along. And I mean rambling along is, as far as I understand, kind of the point of this podcast. But even this podcast is condensed. It is within parameters.
Yeah. Story arcs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like to think of the difference between. A Series of Unfortunate Events, the Netflix series, right, wherein they did they did 8 episodes a season, mm-hmm. 2 episodes per book, and that gave them the long form options that we wouldn't have seen in films if they had ever done a film, and if they did, we're not going to talk about it. So the difference with that is that they really found ways to build upon the media, which was the books, and expand it in a way that made sense and kind of modernized it to a point in that it was still fun and engaging for people that had read the books and wanted the story to remain true to itself, but also gave us more interesting things to be like, oh, I would never have thought of that, and you still feel like you're engaging with it for the first time, but still kind of contained within itself. It was exactly as long as it should be, and I don't anticipate that they're somehow going to try to build on that. On the other hand, mm-hmm. there is CW's Supernatural coming to the end of its 15th season.
Sure.
In theory, its final season. That's what they keep saying. I feel like with Supernatural, they really hit their sweet spot in the third and the fourth season. And
sure.
where they lost me personally as a viewer is... around season 6 or 7, they started building into a formula into their seasons, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with formulas, but at a certain point it becomes too formulaic, where they start a season with, mm-hmm. we have a big bad, and we need to defeat the big bad, and mm-hmm. we need to figure out how to do that. And so they spend a couple of episodes trying to figure out how do we do that. They find out, oh, there is a way to defeat the big bad. We just have to do, 3 special steps. And, so they're like, great, we'll do that. And then they find out 2 episodes later, they're like, oh no, if we do this thing, one of us has to die. It's usually Sam.
Fair.
And then and of course, then we have this deep emotional debate about no, Sammy, you can't die. And Dean, we have to do it. It's for the sake of the world.
Yeah,
and then we spend a couple
everyone
of,
will die.
Yes. And then we spend a couple of episodes lamenting this, but then we find out there's a loophole, right? So then we're mm-hmm. We have these split timelines of one of them is still just Sam is just no, I'm going to do it. And we're going to solve this problem. And Dean is just no, we're not going to do it. And I'm going to solve the problem. And then we get to the last episode. And at the last minute, they defeat the big bad. And we get 7 minutes of emotional resolution. And then mm-hmm. we find out that the result of this loophole is that there's a bigger badder now. And then the season ends. And we start the next season with the bigger badder.
Sure.
And we rinse and repeat.
I will say that formulas can be, if they are done well... And if the content in that formula is is entertaining. They can be both comforting for people who want that surety, but they can also be like Encyclopedia Brown was a favorite book series of mine when I was little. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, they're basically Sherlock Holmes, but instead of having a series of things, you know, well, it's elementary because there was brick dust on his pecker and it clearly was a coke fiend and, you know, whatever, that it was, there was one detail to look for that would give the mystery away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that kind of thing is, like I said, comforting and fun, or can be. I've seen it go badly.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, and this is a controversial opinion that I think I've maybe even said on this podcast, but I think the reason that people love Firefly so hard is that they did not drive that into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
People were left absolutely wanting more. And it's the same kind of thing with anime. People love Cowboy Bebop because it ended right on and left mm-hmm. people wanting, instead of being Bleach or One Piece, which have
Naruto.
700 episodes. 700. 700 episodes. So,
how many episodes?
700.
700.
Well, they're probably over 800 now. Yeah. I feel like if you can't, I don't know, if you can't say it in 100 episodes without closing your story arc, I just don't know that you can say it in 1,000.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also think that much in the way that Moffat will get to a point in whatever project he's working on where it just becomes very Moffat-y, mm-hmm. we have a sense of that with Whedon as well. And I think for me, I started seeing that more as he started directing more movies and was doing things more with Marvel, and I didn't really engage mm-hmm. with a lot of the stuff that he did with TV. But I mean, when you think about like Buffy, for example, like it got to a point where you, like someone who knew Whedon, would look at that and be able to point out the things that Whedon does consistently, repeatedly, because it's what he likes to do, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Impaling sympathetic characters right. through the chest from behind?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Sorry, Wash is my favorite, so now I'm going to cry. It's fine. But,
I'm
like,
sure
I feel...
It's fine.
But anyways, so the problem with, or not the problem, the benefit that Firefly had is that, A, it was still fairly early on in, like, Whedon really, like, getting his footing as far as, like, being known for mm-hmm. doing things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it also, like, had he really took the opportunity to play in a sandbox that we hadn't really seen before, and a sandbox that he hadn't really had access to before, so it was finding new, different things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, it's not perfect media by any means, because it was, what, 2003, 2004, something like that?
Yeah.
So, right. like, you know, it was the early aughts, because I think Serenity came out in 2005. But, like, you know, for what it was and for what it was, I think it was a really excellent exploration of, like, what those kind of stories could look like. And I do think that if we had kind of seen more of it, I do worry of, like, pushing those boundaries, which boundaries would have been pushed and how he would have pushed them.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's already, like, built-in dynamics that can get really tetchy at certain points. Like, companions as an industry, as a career choice, I felt was really well done. But we also did start to see, like, the other side of that, because like companions as sex workers kind of demonstrated this idea of like there's different stereotypes, there's different words that I'm not finding, but like we saw different the way that people interpreted the business, right? And how
sure.
For them it was both a business, but it was also inherently spiritual, and it was also inherently like about the human connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about the way to continue showing that after like four seasons. How long are we going to be able to maintain this empathy and keep it relevant without continuing to introduce characters that challenge it? So like we had Atherton, who was a douchebag about it. We had the guy on Canton, his son, or not him, it was him, not his son, who is just like, well, you know, my son's a boy and he ain't been with a woman yet, whatever. But like we already were seeing that that became the trope that they relied on to pull companions back into the storyline. I mean, Heart of Gold was essentially just about a guy on a backwater moon that like decided that no, this is the Old West and women still are pro- and so on and so forth. So
yeah,
it's things like that where I'm just like, I would love to have seen these be pushed, but I am also worried about how they would have ended up needing to be pushed in order to keep them relevant and interesting in the context of like, you know, cinema, I guess.
Yeah.
Does anybody else feel that Mandalorian is a spiritual successor to Firefly?
Oh, I absolutely do.
I haven't seen Mandalorian, but that is definitely the vibe that I'm picking. It, shush, all right,
no,
listen.
No, I shouldn't gasp like that.
You shouldn't, but you're going to.
No, the thing is, I'm not angry or upset that you haven't seen it. It is a different gasp. It is a gasp of excitement that I might get to help you see it.
So my the struggle that I have with engaging with Star Wars as a media, so true facts, things that we covered in the Monday night recording session that never was, is that I have never seen a single Star Trek, and this is because my parents didn't love me as a child. that's not true.
To be fair, my parents didn't love me as a child, and I saw all of the Star Trek growing up. So
no, so to put it a different way, my mother about 3 years ago was talking. No, I'm sorry. This was actually just last year.
My parents were ambivalent towards me, and I saw some Star Trek. So,
so we've got the full range. So funny story, true story. I have a brother. He is schizophrenic. He accidentally robbed a convenience store, and so they took him to jail. Right?
Sure.
We can unpack that a different day. It's a very funny story. So last year they were like, you have been in the system for a minute and we found a treatment that's working for you and we think you are ready to go home now. And we're like, great, that's very cool. So my brother and my mother live in Michigan. And so when he was being released, that's where he was going to be with my mother. And so she is starting to try to figure out things that we can have at her home for him to do to keep himself busy, because for the first like couple of months, he's supposed to be like pretty stationary at home.
Sure.
And this was last year before like that was just the thing that we did. One thing she was talking with me about is she was talking about different activities that she thinks he might be interested in or might become interested in. Because like when we were younger, my brother was very into drawing and things like that. And so she was going to try to get him more into painting and things like that. She was talking to me about how her partner at the time had a hobby where he would airbrush and customize RC cars and race them around just for funsies, right?
Sure.
Because it was something he enjoyed. And so my mother, so here's the thing. I am a very spiteful and petty person, and I get come by it honestly. And so my mother sees her partner doing this and goes, oh, I could do that better than he does. And so then she started, yes, you can't see Jenna's face, but it's amazing. So yes, I had a great growing up time. I don't know what she could possibly mean. So anyway, so she starts doing it with him, and then she finds out that it's fun to do things. Sometimes you can enjoy just doing stuff. And so she's having this revelation at me on the telephone. And she's just like, you know, I never realized how impactful having hobbies could be on your mental health. And now I feel guilty because I never took an interest or helped any of you kids develop your hobbies. And I'm like, ma'am, we been new. We know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't have hobbies as a child. My hobbies included being quiet, not instigating a ruckus with my older brothers because there were three of them and I was never going to win. And not picking fights at school because that's what my brothers did and I was not going to win that fight either. So those were my hobbies until I hit middle school, and then I started to have hobbies, and then we moved across the country. And so then, and I didn't like Texas. So anyways, point being, I didn't have hobbies as a kid, and so I didn't know about things. My mother, I don't think, ever really watched television, and my dad's idea of a perfect, like, night in watching TV was Antiques Roadshow, and this is still true. It is his favorite thing. There's nothing wrong with that. but, of course, this doesn't lead us to Star Trek, Star Wars, things like that, so I didn't really get into it. I accidentally watched Firefly, funny story, true story also, in that I was hanging out with I had started high school, and my favorite teacher had talked about Firefly as one of the shows that he enjoyed. And when I was back up in Michigan visiting family, I saw that somebody had a copy of the series, and I was just like, "Oh, can we watch that? I've heard that it is good." And so we start watching it, and we just marathon the whole season. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, "Oh, cool, that was fun." And my friend is like, "Oh, we also have the movie," and I'm like, "Oh, can we watch the movie?" And she goes, "Yes." So we start watching the movie, and about like a third of the way into the film, I'm starting to recognize things that are going on. And that's when I realized that I had actually seen Serenity on the Sci-Fi channel back when it was Sci-Fi, not Sci-Fi.
Skiffy.
Yeah. Yep. So I'd seen it, but I was just like, "Oh, I think I've seen this before." And she immediately like just looks at me and goes, "Yeah?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but I don't really remember how this goes." 'Cause she already knew that Wash was my favorite character. And so she knew where this was going.
Oh, no.
And I did not.
Oh, God.
No, I locked myself in the bathroom in hysterics for like 3 minutes. It was fine.
Oh, no.
I was screaming into the void, and then I was done. So it was fine. But so that was my exposure. That was the only reason I got into Firefly, was because I literally the roll of the dice at that point. Mm-hmm. With Star Wars, I didn't see it until I had been... this was after I went to college the first time, so this would have been like 2012, 2013, like quite a ways into being an adult at that point. Mm-hmm. Or I was late to the thing. And I like watched the original trilogy once, and then I think we watched the prequels, but I have no memory of them. But like, I live on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've been on the internet. I know what happens. It's fine. I understand the plot points. So it wasn't compelling for me because I had seen so much about it on the internet that I'm like, I already know they're twins. I already know that Luke, I am your father. No! I already know the things.
Yeah,
so it wasn't as compelling for me. And I did watch The Force Awakens because like it was very exciting and very cool, and I really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But now I am afraid because the reviews for The Last Skywalker and Rise of the Jedi... were very mixed reviews, and I'm like, but what if I don't like it, and then I will be sad, and why not instead do I continue to do what I have done for 15 years of my life and just go on the internet and write and read fan fiction, which I know will give me the tropes that I want. So like that's where I'm at, where I'm like on pause with Star Wars. So and I did this with Marvel also, and our good friend Eric Thompson peer pressured slash bullied slash dragged me kicking and screaming through watching the rest of the Marvel movies that I hadn't seen, and I appreciate that about him, but I'm also like emotional. That's what I appreciate about him. Mm-hmm. Hey, well, look at the ground anyways. So like eventually I'm just gonna have to like buckle up and watch the other two of the newest trilogy. Yes, dog. Yes. What is it? But I with the Mandalorian, like I feel like I don't have the cultural cornerstone for like where does that feature in the Star Wars universe.
Well, the good thing is you don't need to.
Yes. Okay. Correct. The other thing is it is not necessary to be familiar with classic Westerns. Like a Fistful of Dollars, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Magnificent Seven, you know, the spaghetti westerns.
Yes.
It is not necessary.
On a pale horse. Yeah.
But I feel like there is an additional joy to that. Mm-hmm. If you have seen them. But you could always watch The Mandalorian, and if you like it, then I don't know that there is online any comprehensive breakdown of the Western stories that were based on Akira Kurosawa's famous films that went into effectively directly into The Mandalorian, but that are referenced.
Yeah.
in a way or alluded to, but I feel like there should be and probably is. It is the fucking internet.
Right.
I honestly, like I said earlier, it's really a spiritual successor to Firefly. So if you enjoyed mm-hmm. Firefly, you don't need to know Star Wars.
Right.
The main okay. this is
they will tell you everything.
This is
you
a
need.
Different era than the Star Wars movies, so you don't need yeah. to okay. know all of that. If you like and Firefly, was, yeah. this is Firefly that happens to be in the same universe.
There are certain nuggets that if you have seen all the Star Wars stuff, you'll right. be like, haha, I recognize that thing. But it is not absolutely not necessary.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess that was kind of like my thought. It's just like, do I need to have background information about this in order to see it? Okay, cool.
Nope.
So like, and I haven't ever gotten to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to watch it. I just haven't yet. This happens with a lot of things.
Yeah. I would say the amount of information that you need to be able to watch Mandalorian, if you've never seen Star Wars and just had it seep into your brain mm-hmm. from like just social consciousness, you have enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you don't need it, but, like, you know, there are stormtroopers. You know what those are.
It's the guys that can't hit things.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the guys that can't hit things.
yeah. So, and basically, anything you need to know about Star Wars to enjoy The Mandalorian, you already know, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Sweet. So what I'm hearing is that James and I need to watch The Mandalorian together, because I have it on several reliable like reviews of performances of me watching things, is that it is a very enjoyable performance. I in fact have like a blood pact with a friend of mine for a number of things on Netflix where we're like, we're not going to watch it because they want to watch me watch it.
Yep.
It's because I have the opposite of resting bitch face, wherein I have all of my feelings on my face at all times. Sometimes those feelings are, in fact, bitch, but usually they are not. I do a great job in call center environments because, like, my eyebrows do not have an indoor voice. They just don't. Which was really disconcerting when I briefly was doing training for a job and all of our training was done via Zoom. 8 hours of Zoom a day. Ugh. And we had to be on camera. And
no
fucking
thank you.
And one of my coworkers just never stopped. And unfortunately, every time he talked, I could feel my face doing the thing that it does. And I was just like, need to reel that in. I never did. I just didn't. I don't think he noticed. Nah. It's fine. Everyone else is feeling the same thing. I was just not a coward.
Amazing.
I need a pee.
We should
guys.
Take a break then.
I need to pee really bad.
Well, we'll do that.
All right. Gonna go pee.
Okay.
Okay. Do you need me to come with you?
Do you want the rest of us to keep going?
I might take a bit.
Or
no. Okay. If we could take a break.
We'll wait for you, Jenna.
I appreciate that.
See, this is the controlling asshole thing.
It's my podcast, and yet he's the controlling asshole.
I've got the button.
It's your podcast, and you'll break if you want to.
Break if you want to.
No, we'll take a break. We're going to take a break. Okay.
I'm going to pee.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Have we figured out what we're doing?
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
God damn it.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Merritt.
And no, we have not figured out what we're doing.
See, that's why I was trying to ask.
10 years.
We've never figured out what we're doing.
Yeah, we've got a special situation now that we didn't talk through.
No, it's
because
it's cool.
We've already done this.
No, we're just going to do a Fast Five. Fast Five.
Fast Five. Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Sean Pitre.
Sean Pitre.
This email has no lead-in, no anything. We just get straight to it. Ooh. Question number one.
All right.
Bing. Delivery or Delicchio?
DiGiorno?
No.
Delicchio?
Delicchio? Delicchio? Yeah. D-E-L-I-C-I-O. Delicio.
Delivery-o or Delicio? Delicio might be a pizza brand if it's related to the delivery or DiGiorno.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with it at all. So.
Well, or it might have been like an autocorrect thing.
I was going to say it not might an be some weird thing. Canadian thing.
It might be. That might be the Canadian DiGiorno.
Oh.
Ooh.
The Canadian DiGiorno is my new Let's
Go. But it's in French because, you know, it's Sean Pitre.
I'm going to go delivery because I don't know what the other is.
Yeah, I'm going to go with delivery because if Delicio is like DiGiorno, I don't like cooking my own things. I would rather have it delivered to me.
That's fair. I've been doing a lot of cooking, and I've also been getting a lot of deliveries, especially of groceries. So I'll go delivery.
I have learned, by the way, throughout quarantine, I don't like to cook.
Fair.
I can do it. I don't like it. I keep hearing about all of these people that are like going through quarantine and like, oh, I'm cooking up this masterpiece and aren't I having fun? And I'm like, oh God, that sounds
awful. You're like, that's so nice for you. Hop Wong.
Yes, actually. I now have Hop Wong for the rest of the week.
Okay. Yee.
Merritt?
I'm also going to say delivery because to circle back to like ADHD is weird and like I have to find out what that means at any given time. For me, it is not just like when I talk about like how much does this thing cost, right? For me, it's not about the amount of time. It's about the number of steps. And somehow eating food is also steps. It's not just like you have steps to cook the food. Then it requires steps to also eat the food. So things like pizza are great because like the steps to eat the food is lift food, fork it down, unhinge your jaw, and just let it slide down your gullet. As opposed to things like soup, which requires silverware and like making sure that you don't end up wearing the soup. Or like I have boobs and sometimes you get soup. You get boob in your soup. You don't get soup in your boobs. Sometimes you just do a bad job.
Yeah.
So, but I kind of also have realized that making frozen pizzas is a thing that is still pretty convenient because it's take thing out of box, put thing in oven. But most, if it's going to tell me that this is a pizza that is adjacent to or equivalent to delivery pizza, this sounds like a pizza I am then going to have to like take time to cut up in a more traditional sense versus like my cardboard Totino pizzas, which like I can just tear those apart with my teeth if I really wanted to. I've done it before. Yes. It's very visceral. It's very satisfying. but so I'm going to go with delivery.
Oh, so a brief Google search shows that Delicio is a pizza, coal-fired pizza in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh.
So
delivery or delicious sit-down pizza.
In Ohio.
In Ohio.
So.
No, but I'm from Michigan. Ohio is not allowed. It is not permitted. I stand by my principles.
Fair. Yeah, if I was going to get delicious sit-down pizza, I would get it from Slice of New York, which is local and fantabulous.
I would get it from Luce because they have non-dairy options that I can have for
also
cheese.
Good.
But also Luce delivers. So.
They do. Hmm.
I'm going to go between going all the way to Cincinnati for a piece of pizza or just having it delivered to my house. I'm going delivery.
Fair.
Yeah. What if they delivered it all the way from Ohio?
As long as they're delivering it, I don't care. I don't have to do anything.
I don't think it would be very good.
I still don't have to
drive
do anything.
Here all the way from Cincinnati.
Yeah, but I don't have to do anything.
But it's going to be cold and congealed and
well,
like
then
you're
I don't
not
need it. But I have expended zero effort on any of this. If it's edible, awesome. If it's not edible, eh.
Are you still paying for it?
It is pizza.
I mean, that's how delivery works.
It is pizza.
It's pizza. Yeah, even cold.
So,
I have
like,
definitely eaten a slice of pizza that's been out overnight.
Yeah.
That's how you have breakfast the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess. I'm just like, but I mean, a coal-fired pizza feels like it. You need to eat that while it's still like been fired the first time, because any options for reheating that just won't do it justice.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
How are you going to get black lung if it's not warm anymore?
Listen, it's carbon. It's good for you.
I've got the black lung.
I was in the army, all right? I've had lots of things in my lungs. There's nothing I can yell about anymore. The army is a very strange place.
Puff on my puffy stick.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a technical term.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think we've
beaten that horse to death.
All right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Question number 2, 3, 4, and 5.
What?
Oh, goddamn.
Oh, no.
Delivery or Delicio?
Oh, God. All right.
So we've decided that the first question is which is better, delivery or Delicio, right? So
maybe.
The next question, like that's what we've decided to like, that's how we mostly answered that question. Is is it better to order local delivery or Ohio delivery? I vote that the second question should be like which one like sounds better in various accents.
Oh,
like an Italian accent, obviously, would be the best one to start with. But I can't do an Italian accent, so I'm not volunteering.
Delivery, or Delicio.
See, I like in my brain watched myself say delivery in an Italian accent, but it just sounded Russian, which I've already arrived at before.
Delivery or
perfectly
Delicio.
Normal American delivery.
Yes, the delivery or the Delicio.
Oh my god!
Yeah, no, this was a real problem when I was trying to figure out the character that I was going to be taking out to the Renaissance Festival. In that, I was playing a badger, and we had to decide what accent does a badger have. And so I was thinking it might be something more Russian because at the time I couldn't do a Scottish accent. I was working on it, but it wasn't there yet. And the problem is that when you make Russian very loud, it just sounds very Italian. And I was not ready to commit to that bit. And so I didn't. And like 3 weeks before the show opened in 2018, the Scottish came in and I have regretted it ever since.
Ooh.
I just can't turn it off now sometimes. Sometimes I would just go Scottish, and it's...
They've gone full plaid. All right.
What about Irish? Hey, the delivery or the Delicio?
Ooh.
I'm going to say for Irish, I'm going to go slightly more towards delivery for Irish.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Same. Definitely.
Okay. Next, German. Where is the papers? Or Delicio?
Ja, und was ist wrong mit der Schmetterling?
What we have here is the delivery or the Delicio?
Delivery.
I deliver nothing.
I hear nothing, I smell and eat nothing.
I will go with Delicio because that is funnier in a German accent.
I actually would agree. Yeah, I do enjoy it. Like one of the benefits of like learning how to do a Scottish accent is finding out the things you can't say with a Scottish accent. Y'all does not work in a Scottish accent.
Yes.
And as somebody that it doesn't, it does not. Because you tap the L's, so like girl is ghetto, right? And so it's like saying ghetto, but like badly, right? And so the problem with Yettle is that you just swallow your tongue.
Yep.
And it doesn't translate as well. So don't recommend doing that. But I lived in Texas for 8 years, so I found out the hard way.
All right. And the last one, I think we're on the last one. Deep South. Y'all want that delivery or the delicio?
Oh, God. Just hearing you say delicio like that makes me upset. So I got to go with delivery.
You said that just like, I can't remember the actor or the character, but Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Brad Pitt as...
Thank you.
Aldo Raine. Aldo Raine. Yeah.
Buongiorno.
Grazie. Yeah.
Yes. That is exactly... It's also, this is the only time you've ever reminded me of Brad Pitt.
Oh,
But I lived in Texas for 8 years, so I'm like, delicio. I'm like, yeah, I'd have some delicio. this is really good. But now you've done it. So this is the real problem that I have with the Scottish accent. Nah, I tell you what. The problem with getting stuck in the Scottish accent, right, is that everybody and their mother's like, oh, you know how you get out an accent, right? You say, the beer's in the back of the pickup truck. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I go, the beer's in the back of the pickup truck. And then I get stuck in this accent. This one's a lot harder to shake out. I had to deal with this for 8 years.
This accent is what happens to me when I do over-the-phone troubleshooting. To varying degrees of subtlety, always. I can't help it. I can't not do it. I don't know why.
So... Funny story, true story. I have worked in several call center environments. At some point, I was working for a mortgage broker, and I was doing their customer support collections, right? I do not recommend working in collections in the mortgage industry. It's terrible. Not my favorite.
It's almost as bad as cold calling in the mortgage industry.
Sometimes I cold call people for collections.
Yeah.
Bill did foreclosures.
Yeah.
And,
this is just the worst job I've ever had.
So,
God, that just sounds awful.
The day they fired
me, I danced
home.
Yeah.
No, so I was doing call center support, and I get on the phone one day with this lady, and she's like down in Georgia, and we start talking, and I start with just like, thank you for calling Morgan Industry Place. My name is whatever. How can I have your name and your account number today? And as we start talking, she keeps talking at me, and she's very, very personable. She just kind of chats to me, and she's like, well, I was just trying to set up a payment online, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. And, you know, I just thought maybe I would just give you all a call and you would be able to walk me through it. And I'm like, well, actually, man, I was like, Miss First Name, I could actually help you do that right over the phone today. I'll get it taken care of, no problem. And so we were doing that, and we're just making small talk back and forth. And at some point she says, now, honey, where are you up at? And I'm like, well, I'm over in Minnesota. And she just goes dead silent for a moment. And she goes, you don't sound like you're in Minnesota. And that's what I get to say. Oh, well, I was living down in Texas for a couple of years before this, so that's why I sound like this. She's like, oh, all right then. Like, I could tell she was just like, oh, we're going to be angry.
Mortal enemies, yeah.
Yeah, no, but we were fine. And then more recently, I was working for a nonprofit in their fundraising department. And it's my first day taking phone calls, my first day. This is the first phone call I've ever taken with this industry. And I get a call from a Boston Irish lawyer.
Oh.
Yes, she has a very classically Irish name, first name and last name. There was no mistake in that. And she was angry. She was not pleased. She was having a hard time. And the problem that I was having is that she had just the slightest bit of an accent, but just enough that I was picking up on it. And she was also mad because of something to do with Facebook. And I, at the time, was not working for Facebook. And so I didn't have a lot that I could do for her. And she didn't like the sound of that. And I didn't like having to say that. And so the whole time I'm like troubleshooting with her and going through the different steps, and every so often she, you know, I'd say, have you tried doing these steps? And she would start telling me the steps that I was about to describe to her. So I'm like, oh, clearly she has. And what is scaring me is that she's already angry, and she is already angry at me for something that I cannot fix. And if she perceives that I am making fun of her because I am talking to her exactly like this, and it's just, if I get any further into the Gaelic accent, she will find me, she will kill me, and she will have every right to do so. So I'm just being very careful to just keep it on the O's mostly, and I'm like, I'm in Minnesota, so that's fine. But I'm just being very careful about it, and at a certain point, I'm like, recognizing that she is more frustrated than anything else, and we're getting nowhere. So I say, okay, so here's what I can do is, I know that you're busy. You've said that you're at your office right now. I can give you a call back this afternoon at about 2 p.m., and then I can give you an update. I'll check in with my supervisor to see if she has any ideas about things that we can try that we haven't tried yet. She's like, okay, that'll be fine. I did not check with my supervisor or any of my coworkers because there was nothing we could do because it was Facebook. It was an issue with the two-factor authentication thing where Facebook was supposed to send her a code, and then it didn't.
Yeah.
But I'm like, now in the afternoon, she will have lunch. And she will maybe have walked away from this long enough that she will not hate me immediately. And I give her a call back and I say, well, unfortunately, it does sound like this is something with Facebook. And a lot of the times what happens is that Facebook will run, you know, it's kind of daily processes and then you should be able to get yourself squared away. I would recommend trying maybe tomorrow morning. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll just try tomorrow morning on the iPad. And that was the end of my call. But so I have to be careful when I do call center work because most people are fine when I have an accent, but sometimes it can be very risky.
Yeah.
My favorite accent moment, and I know we've been on this one for a bit, but my favorite personal accent moment was when I went to do a weekend at Scarborough Renaissance Festival in Texas. Now, when I do my shitty old English accent, I still maintain the long O's. I can't get rid of the long O's.
Sure.
You want me to talk about eating toast on a boat? Those things are just going to happen, right? I can't not. So when I do an old English accent, and now I'm picking up on your Irish because that's the last thing I heard. when I do an old English accent, I've still got those long O's. And then I went to Texas.
Oh, no.
And I started shifting inflection and losing consonants. And I lost entire syllables, man. It was impressive. But I kept the long O. And I kept some of the sharpness of, like, the pseudo-Cockney, I guess, that I end up in.
Right.
So I've got the sharpness. I'm dropping things. I've got sharp consonant sounds where I do have consonants, but I don't always have consonants or syllables, and I've always got the long O, and it was the most confusing thing I ever heard come out of my mouth. I can't replicate it. I've tried to replicate it since then, and it is just something that will forever live in that Memorial Day weekend that I was in Texas.
My family has a similar struggle. I think a lot of performers especially do, where they start to pick up little bits and pieces of, you know, whatever, and mirror how someone is talking to them. And my family sure as fuck did when we used to spend lots of time visiting my aunt down in Texas. And at some point we're at a diner and, you know, ordering whatever, and we're just rattling off our orders and everything like that. And the waitress says, and, you know, what do you want on the side with your eggs? And my mom was like, oh, I think we'll have some toast, right? And she was like, I thought y'all were from here. until you said toast.
Yeah, that was when I first moved down to Texas.
Always the giveaway.
My best friend in high school was the first person to point out to me that I do the boat, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm from Michigan, which is the Midwest. It's not as prominent in Michigan, but it's like we have the pure O sound. I don't know that I have it with toast, but boat is the thing. And she would lose her mind anytime I said boat. Like, she would just repeat it back at me. And I could not hear a difference. And I still, like, I don't know that I would if she did it now, but, like, also, I'm not in Texas, so this isn't an issue. But, like, yeah, I was boat. I couldn't figure out what she was on about, because that's how you say boat.
Well, it's like people who say pillow instead of pillow, or milk instead of milk.
Bagel instead of bagel.
I have gotten in trouble on this fucking podcast for that shit exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been told that the way to tell if somebody is from Minnesota is to have them say boat ride, because they'll pronounce it very particularly, but they'll also give like a slight smile of elation and a little head nod, like a boat ride.
Like, yeah, boat ride.
Boat ride. Yeah,
which is about as excited as a Minnesotan ever gets when you get far north.
Right, it's really like saying "walk to a dog." It's that boat ride.
I was just thinking that.
Boat ride.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. So, how about the second half of the Fast Five?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely, none of it's going to have anything to do with accent and Sean just been.
I'm prepared to be
like,
wrong.
What the fuck, you guys? Yeah.
Question number one.
I'm in.
Delivery or delicio? How would you eat supper normally before March 2020? Delivered or made at home?
Delivered.
I'm lazy by nature.
Same.
Normally, make it at home.
Hmm.
Salsa's better at house stuff than the rest of us. I've always known that.
I feel like it also like has something to do with like having younger kids, because like it's I think harder to do delivery with when you have small kids, because like you never really know what they're gonna do.
Oh yeah, we do.
Well, you do because you have good children, but like I've been raised with hellions. This is not true. It's not their fault. The children that I've been raised around were not, their parents were not very good at parenting. The kids didn't have structure. They didn't have anything to fall back on. It's not their fault. But I was also like in high school and hated everything already. But yeah, so like, I think there's still like a degree of like, it is sometimes easier to cook for kids rather than like going out and finding delivery that will also appeal to them.
My kids love delivery. They're like, look, they just today they were like, can we have Chinese tonight? No, we 9 times out of 10 before and after made food because we could make whatever we wanted, how we wanted it, when we wanted it, and it was cheaper.
Life skills.
Honestly, after all of this is over, I might continue to make food just that same way.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll continue to get delivery and eat frozen microwave shit during the week, and then I'll go over to Joe's for the weekend and have actual food. I'm fine with this.
Such a good plan.
Can I go to Joe's and have real food after this is all done?
Eat at Joe's.
Eat at Joe's.
Oh, my God. Oh, son of a bitch.
Are you kidding? I've been singing that song in my head ever since you started dating him.
I need to get him a sign.
Yes, you do.
Question number two. How do you eat supper normally after March 2020? Delivered or made at home?
Made at home.
Delivered.
Made it
delivered. I maintain like trying to cook for one person not functional for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Tonight, Justin and I had noodles in company.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Question. That's a cannibal dish, isn't it?
What?
Because you're eating the noodles and your company.
Oh.
I got you, Jay.
Merrick, I'm really glad we have you here to translate James.
Because nobody says you're eating the company. It's just you can get noodles and company. You know, people bring
your
food.
You're eating noodles and company tonight. Yeah. Like, what did you eat for dinner tonight?
I'm having noodles and company.
I'm
not going to argue with you because James.
We can blame James for this and we're fine.
All right, question number three. Good. How would you order groceries normally before March 2020, delivered or get them yourself?
Oh.
Go to the store.
Yeah, I Now, okay, so here's the thing. groceries, like going to the grocery store and getting like supplies, I'll do that myself. However, the area that I live in, the cities, I have access to a service called GoPuff, which I refer to on the internet as the stoner snack service, because they are open 24/7 and they will bring me snacks. They will bring me all manner of snacks.
But that's, sometimes not, that's not groceries, though.
No, but sometimes it is, because like I can get eggs there, I can get milk, okay. Like okay. I can get bread. Like it's mm-hmm. stuff that like you like if it's 10 a.m. and you're stoned and you want breakfast, man, but you don't want to like
but
go get breakfast.
51%. 51%.
Yeah, no, like that's the thing. It's like for groceries, I'm gonna go to the store and get it. And I also didn't like start doing the stoner snack service until after. Like I got like once or twice before March, but like it was after March mm-hmm. where all of a sudden I'm yeah. like I had no sense of like I didn't have a sleep schedule.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. I had gotten really into Jenna, one more time.
Because I go grocery shopping with my brother every couple weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for the past several years, and that. Mm-hmm.
I had fallen out of the delivery groceries as my primary method for a long time just because of the expense. I was super into it right away, and then it got to be too expensive, and now I'm back into it because of all of this shit.
All right, question number four. How would you order groceries normally after March 2020, delivered or get them yourself?
So here's the thing. Same thing except for the month of April. Month of April when I was sick and I wasn't going anywhere because we're all pretty sure I had COVID.
Yeah.
I already had a pretty good stockpile because I grew up in poverty, so that's just what you do. Mm-hmm. We really didn't get too bad. A few friends dropped things off here and there, and I'm very grateful for that. But I did also get some groceries delivered throughout April. I did not go grocery shopping directly.
Sure.
Afterwards, though, I started going grocery shopping again. So, aside from April, it's just mm-hmm. been groceries.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
I have friends who are at risk of complications if they did get COVID. A friend of mine, for example, had whooping cough as a child, and so they have scar tissue on their lungs. And so,
oh, fuck.
Yes, vaccinate your children, please. Anyways, mm-hmm. so they were very nervous about going to the store, and I was less nervous, and so it was also like convenient for me to have an excuse to go to the store because I am better at taking care of other people than myself. So I was doing grocery shopping for them as an excuse to go grocery shopping for me. So for me, I kind of just maintained that same concept of shopping at that time.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Solid.
Question number five. In general, how do you like your pizza? Delivery or home-cooked / made?
Delivery.
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 Like, here's the thing. When I first moved to Minnesota, I moved in with a family, and they, every year on New Year's Eve, do homemade pizza. Homemade. Like, their pie crust, or their pizza crust comes in, like, a can, and you roll it out. But, like...
Oh, sure.
Everybody gets a cookie sheet of pizza to themselves. And they essentially have, like, a taco bar's worth of, like, do you want cheese on your pizza? Do you want, like, bell peppers, mushrooms, pepperonis, whatever. Like, it very much becomes a salad bar, and then we make pizza. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I had the opportunity to do something like that, like, because, again, and I've harped on this enough today, doing that by myself, like, I'll buy it, spend $1.25 on my tiny frozen cheapsas, and it'll be great. But, like, mm-hmm. if I had the spoons and the wherewithal to make pizza in that way, and if it was built into that community aspect, I think I would prefer to do homemade pizza. What do I actually do is delivery or, you know, frozen pizzas. But, like, what I prefer, what I would like, is to be able to homemade my pizzas.
Yeah. I think I would really like that, too. I think I would really like to make pizzas at home.
Go ahead, Jenna.
Bill used to make homemade pizzas. And he was a fucking pizza connoisseur. So there's no way I will ever be able to top that. And I sure as fuck can't get him to make them for me now. So,
yeah.
That's it. He has ruined homemade pizzas for me forever now.
Damn you, Bill.
I know, right?
My wife will occasionally bring home pizza crusts, and we will do homemade pizzas with the kids. And they are a lot of fun. Because, you know, the kids will go to town with what they want, and I will put everything under the sun on my pizza, because that is what pizza is for. you know, I will start digging through the cabinets looking for things that just we forgot we had, and just start putting it on pizzas. You know, I'm the one who always puts the barbecue sauce and the egg on the pizza. But yeah,
my father always used those Totino's party pizzas as an excuse to dig out absolutely every goddamn thing from the fridge that had not been eaten up to that point, and to use that as a topping. It did not matter what it was. Like, if we had chicken in the fridge, he would shred the chicken and put that on there. If we had broccoli, if we had spam, that went on there. If we had, and like, not just like, okay, this is a pizza with shredded chicken on it, this is a pizza and broccoli, this is a pizza with spam and pineapple, this is a, you
oh,
know,
no, no.
But
if I could get
everything.
If I could get away with it, you know those places that you know build your own pizza, like if I could get away with it, I would check every single checkbox, because that is pizza.
I like a Supreme pizza too, but I also at some point you start to lose the flavors of what you're enjoying.
I don't care.
For me,
I don't care. because
it's just a food conveyance.
It's an American.
That's all it is.
It's an American pizza.
And so when I was in the Army, right, when I went to basic training, the way the dining facility worked is that you all went in a line and you got your tray, and they let you put as much food on that as you want. And you have to put as much food on it as you want, because you get one trip, one.
Yep.
And then all go and you sit down and you eat. And from the time that the last guy in your group sits down, you have 10 minutes from the time that he sits down to finish your food and get outside in formation, right? Which means that you get at least 10 minutes. But of course, sometimes you have more than 10 minutes worth of food if you are eating it like a person. But of course, we are not people at that time. We are
no.
soldiers in training. And
right.
so that was when I learned the magic of carbs, which is that anything is a sandwich, anything at all. And pizzas are just an open-faced sandwich, because it's just a bread and then toppings. And so I also, like, I feel like you do hit a point of critical mass with, like, too many toppings on your pizza, but, like, I don't think anything is not correct as a topping on a pizza.
Sure.
Except for maybe, like, mashed potatoes. I've eaten mashed potato sandwiches because, like, you just need to get the things in your mouth. And so you just sometimes they're like, we're having meatloaf and mashed potatoes today, and I'm like, great, and some bread, and then...
Merritt, at some point, I need to get a mashed potato toppers pizza for you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wanted to get... Toppers does not have their taco pizzas anymore. And I am livid.
Fuck.
I am fucking
taco
livid
topper was
this.
Like one of my two staples. Shit.
Same, because I could get it without cheese, and it was amazing.
Fuck.
And okay, I will say maybe they have it, and I just can't get it on DoorDash.
Yeah.
But Toppers doesn't deliver in my area.
Yeah.
So I have to use DoorDash, but they don't have the taco pizza.
That's so
on my
sad.
Application, and I am angry. I am angry about this.
Uh-huh.
I've ranted with Jessa for like 10 minutes, and she was like, "Yes, mom. Yes, mom. I know.
Yes, I'm
I
sure
know.
It was very good."
Yeah. No, well, I mean, she agreed, but she was not as angry about it as I was, because she can get a mac and cheese pizza, and that's no problem.
Uh-huh.
which is incredible. And I miss cheese.
And any pizza with cold lettuce on it is not the pizza for me.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't
love it.
Ugh. Anything, really anything that contains lettuce.
I like at Luce, I get the Renata cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not cheese. Because
it's not a cheese.
I get arugula.
It's a vegetable.
Mushroom. And jerk chicken.
Yeah.
And it is incredible.
Forbidden donut.
But
anyway.
Arugula is one of those plants that just, that's fine. You can cook it, you can have it cold, you can have it however, and it's just like, yep, I'm delicious.
Yeah, so...
Are you delicious or are you delicio?
Ooh.
Anyway, thank you so much to Sean Petre for that Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Two emails.
Except
the
for
first
Matt.
One should contain nothing but the choices, and then the second one... repeat those choices, and then, well, Jenna was talking while I was trying to talk. Anyway.
I heard.
And then repeat those, and then give us the context. Who has a shout-out?
I do.
I don't remember. Go ahead.
My shout-out is to Mav for sending us a fucking 12-email party pizza of death for... last week's Fast Five. I love you. Thank you.
That was delightful, and I appreciate
Merit?
I actually do have a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to Stefan.
Ah.
Who, on hearing that I will be doing a movie marathon for my birthday, was like, I can provide you with all of the movies. You don't need to stream. We will just make this happen. You let me know what movies, and I will make that. So, yeah. Shout out to Stefan for making my life easier for my birthday.
Aww.
In the future.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Dennis for not making me drink Malort this week.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm also excited about this.
Yeah.
Well, they did bring me groceries last week. They could have put some in there, but they didn't.
I am going to give my shout out to so my shout out is going to be to somebody that we spent 15 minutes talking about yesterday, but that's gone. it's to two people, Tom Wall. And former guest of this podcast, Benjamin Damask. Tom has come out with a book. I mentioned it last week in the podcast. I have received said book, and it is fan-fucking-tastic. Benjamin Damask is the editor of said book, and he also has a guest chapter, which is pretty fucking cool. But this is a really,
those
really
fact
fucking
may be related.
What?
I said those two facts may be related.
Okay. It's the book is out. It's now on sale. As of yesterday, the book is now on sale, and you should go and buy it because it seriously goes from never touched a juggling ball to done this for 20 years. And everybody would get something out of it. Like I said, we talked for like 15 minutes yesterday about this, so I don't want to rant too much, but it's good.
Yeah.
So that's my shout out. There will be a link in the show notes to that.
Is that a shout out or a plug or both?
It's a shout out, and then my plug will be the same as yesterday's plug, with this one as kind of a bonus.
Okay.
Oh, we've killed him now.
Okay.
Fuck.
God damn it.
Okay. Who's got something to plug?
You do.
I do. Hey, everybody. You should go to Casimir the Hungry's merchandise page and go buy some merchandise, because everything is on sale. Every fucking thing in the store is on sale right now until September 8th. That is, regular t-shirts are only $15 and everything else is 10% off. Boom. Go buy it. Bob's your uncle and it shows up at your doorstep and it's cheaper. That's
Bob is
cool.
Not my uncle. That's
no,
creepy.
And then you should also buy Tom's book.
Yeah.
Which is really
fun. What's the name of that book again?
It's Juggling What It Is and How to Do It.
Thank you.
And it's, again, will be in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
As will the link to my store, where you can get Casimir merchandise. For 10%.
That's where they keep it.
Who else?
Nope.
Nobody else? All right. In that case, this has been an Apropos of Nothing podcast. Woo! Thank you so very much. Thank you so much to Merritt for having been our special guest.
Yay!
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Sean Pitre for the Fast Five. Thank you to everyone for listening. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.